What's up? Welcome to Canucks Talk on Sportsnet 650. I'm Jamie Dodd. I'm back. Back where I belong on the show after last week. Trance is back too.
You could have hit that like Shining style, like, I'm back. We're happy to have you, by the way.
Yeah. It's good to be back. Good morning.
You don't seem stoked.
No, it's a nice break. I think we've discussed this before. The phrase, a change is as good as a rest.
Yeah.
That hits home for me.
Right.
A change in my schedule is a big deal for me.
I'm with you.
Keeps it fresh. Keep things interesting. But the whole week of the early wake up is a little much. So I'm glad to be back on a more civilized schedule here on Canucks Talk. Drancer, of course, covers the team for The Athletic as well. We're broadcasting live from the Kintec studio. Kintec Footwear and Orthotics working together with you in step. 650-650 is the Dunbar Lumber text line. This hour of Canucks Talk is brought to you by Rack Steel. You need forklifts that perform under pressure and pallet racking that maximizes your space. Visit them online at racksteel.com. Big show coming up today here. Greg Wyshynski is going to join us at 12:30. Talk a little bit about the Canucks, the weekend that was for them, the playoff races, and all of that. And at 1 o'clock, Thomas Hickey, of course, former NHL defenseman, now doing the Amazon Prime broadcast. And this is an Amazon Prime game tonight between the Canucks and the Devils. So we'll get Hickey's thoughts on both of these teams and some of the other stuff happening around the league at 1. Before we go to the whiteboard, I also have to give a shout out to our producer Lena and Josh Elliott Wolf, who kicked off Canucks Brunch, the inaugural episode of Canucks Brunch.
My on new
the
favorite show.
At 11. There you go. Yeah. Jumping over our own show immediately.
Immediately.
In the power rankings.
Well, our show doesn't have bottomless mimosas.
Mimosa Monday. Let's go.
Yeah, here we go. One too many Monday. Today.
Huh? Shout out to Lena. Shout out to Josh. Great first episode. Can't wait to hear more. But right now, let's go to the whiteboard.
All right, now, fellas. Hey, let's focus up, huh?
It is your daily deep dive into what's up with the Canucks for today, March 24th. And we'll start with the headlines. And there's really no way to sugarcoat this one, Drancer. The Canucks are on the brink. The season is on the brink. After a devastating weekend, and devastating along many different criteria, right? Like, there's a lot of different ways in which that weekend sucked for the Vancouver Canucks. And we can start with the most obvious one, which is you absolutely dominate, speedbag the New York Rangers in their home rink, and yet come away with no points to show for it at the end of it.
I think that was in some ways the worst case scenario Canucks loss against the Rangers, because it's at such a pivotal time of the year that the moral victory of, man, if they play like that again, they're going to win.
Yeah.
You know, more often than not, just doesn't matter, right?
No,
like, it just doesn't matter.
If you do that in game 35, it's like, oh, I'm getting excited here. That was awesome. Have they turned the page? Like, you're not even worried about the loss. You're like, oh, hold on. They might have found something.
But you also see how feckless the Rangers are.
Oh boy.
Right? Like, the Rangers, who the Canucks had their pick momentarily, right, had a hedge position against this team, and then you watch that team play, and it's just like, man,
power, what is going on with
power
that team?
Rank NHL teams you want to short sell, and they are number one with a bullet.
Yeah, like, what is the deal with that team? It's a disaster.
Well,
it's ugly.
I will say, because obviously one of my thoughts coming out of that game was, oh man, I'm really nervous that the Canucks recreated the Philip Hronek trade, except this time the recklessness is going to get them, right?
Yeah.
While that was part of my thinking, the other part of my thinking was, I still am pretty confident that the Rangers are like 15 points better immediately if they just hire the right coach.
Mm.
Like, I think that team is really disorganized.
Yes.
And I think it's apparent. I actually shout out to Tomlinson and Shorthouse because they kept calling it out. They were like, what is going on with that breakout? They were like so confused by what the Rangers were doing, and they just absolutely did not sugarcoat
it
in any way.
The headline numbers got to a point that you rarely see in an NHL game. When it's what? Like halfway through the game and three shots on goal.
Well, and
some of those shots are like from the other side of center.
And I was shocked that they managed to do worse than they did against Calgary earlier in the week, where they had six shots halfway through the game. I was like, oh boy, that team's got no juice. And then they did worse against the Canucks. The Canucks still found a way to lose, right? Look, to some extent, the Rangers were an unscreened rush wrist shot goal away from you know, a fortunate goal hat trick, right? Like they got the deflection off the skate in front. That's a classic. And they got the weak dribbler point shot that eludes the goaltender. They also got two goals off really ghastly Canucks breakdowns.
Yeah.
Right? Off the rush. Miller setting up Brodzinski the first time, which really sort of established the tone of that third period where the Canucks were chasing. And then another one, and it was Kiefer Sherwood with the error, which I think is why if you watched, like, did you watch Tockett's scrum postgame?
Yes.
And he was asked about Sherwood's hits record and wanted absolutely nothing to... He was just, he was still getting over the guy making a mistake on the game winner.
Not the right time to ask him about the hits record.
Well, and it's not, I mean.
That's not the reporter's fault.
No.
It's just like, sometimes that happens. You got to ask the coach about something, even though they're not in the mood for it.
100%. So I felt bad for him in that moment because he was so clearly frustrated by the error. And he should be. I mean, those two errors were bad. And then JT Miller, salt in the wound, adds the empty netter. And the Canucks lose Nils Höglander and Elias Pettersson to injury, throwing their status.
Every other team that matters in the Western Conference playoff race won, and St. Louis wins twice in that game.
What did you watch more of this weekend? College basketball or Western Conference playoff Stryver class games?
I got to be honest, it was March Madness.
Yeah, college basketball. Yeah.
I watched an endless amount of both. I could not help myself. I had multiple screens going, like really sunk into it. And... so, St. Louis could not have played worse in both of their wins. Like, it was the polar opposite of what happened to the Canucks against the Rangers. I don't know that they touched the puck for 30 minutes of that game against the Nashville Predators.
Like, not ideal.
They were good in the first period, and then they completely fell apart. They had absolutely nothing. And then they score a 3-1 goal on the very first shift of the third period, and the referees rule it off for like intent to blow. The referee just erroneously blew the whistle when Justus Ununen had not covered the puck and took a Robert Thomas goal off the board. I was just like, what is happening in this game? Likewise, Utah versus Tampa, one of the best games I've watched all year from an entertainment value perspective. Utah had two goals disallowed. Both of them, like, one a specious goaltender interference and one of those, like, offside calls that's so narrow that you don't feel like it should.
Yeah.
You know? And then Calgary gutted it out against the Islanders and went 3-for-3 on this New York trip, which also is going to be in contrast now because the Canucks are following in their footsteps.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of need to do the same just to keep up at this point.
They really, and I mean, right, the other part of the headline here is, of course, that they play tonight in New Jersey against the Devils as their road trip continues. Look, seasons get weird and everything, and lots of funny stuff can happen in hockey. You probably need to go 3-for-3 here this week. You got the Devils tonight, you got the Islanders on Wednesday, and then you've got the Blue Jackets on Friday. You wrap up the road trip with a return visit to Winnipeg. I would imagine that Winnipeg Jets team is going to be extremely motivated to avenge a 6-2 defeat that they suffered last week at the hands of the Canucks. It's the final game of a road trip. Those are often really tricky. It's an early start. That's a very, very difficult game, even though the Canucks did just recently play well against the Jets. Yep. Two wins here, and you lose one of the other games, and you lose that game against Winnipeg. Like, that's a stretch. That's four games of 500 hockey that you can't afford. We'll talk more about how the math looks in the playoff odds section of the whiteboard, but you're far enough back now, and there are few enough games remaining that really it feels like all three of these games this week are must-win games starting tonight in New Jersey.
Well, yeah.
They're not true must wins because obviously it's like, well, you could win 10 in a row after that. Yeah, okay. But
they're damn close.
It's getting, as I said, you're on the brink and you're also like a couple of nights away from you losing and the results on the out-of-town scoreboard going the wrong way from being pretty much hooped, from needing like a 10-game winning streak to get you back in it.
Oh, I think you're already, so the math, the way that I think you should look at it, right, is they're 5 points back with two games in hand.
Yeah.
And... you know, if you just kind of look at, so assume that St. Louis, right, who has 17 points in their last 10 games, by the way, 8-1-1, assume that they hit a divot and go 500, which is pretty easy to do in the NHL, 500 point percentage, not fake 500 that people cite while trying to sell season ticket memberships.
Isn't 500 points percentage fake 500?
That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
500 point percentage.
You said not fake 500.
No. Fake 500 is when teams look at their wins versus their losses.
I see. And don't say we're
500.
Losses.
You can be like 4, 6, 8 point percentage and be 500.
Okay.
Easily with overtime losses.
I think you would have an above 500 points percentage, though.
Not necessarily.
Anyways, we don't need to get into the math puzzle. Continue.
We'll do it later. Let's get back to the other math puzzle.
Yeah.
The Blues go 500 the rest of the way here. They get to 91 points. Okay? And to get to 92 points and beat the Blues, the Canucks are going to need 16 points from their next 12 games. So 16 of 24 possible available points the Canucks are going to need to haul in.
Yep.
That's 8 wins if you want to look at it simply. You know, 7-3-2 will do the trick. 6-2-4. But either way, you're looking at very few regulation losses that this team can still sustain if the Blues wobble, right? So realistically, you're probably going to need 9 or 10 wins. 9 or 10 wins. Like, that's the situation that this team finds itself in. 5 points doesn't feel like a lot when you have 2 games in hand, right? Well, they take care of business. They're only 1 point back. And that's how this team is going to have to look at it. But at this time of year, it's actually a chasm once you actually sort of extrapolate out what it means. And here's the other...
The other complicating factor is it's not just the Blues that you're worried about. You've got Utah and Calgary still very much in the mix as well.
And Utah and Calgary both play St. Louis, a weapon that the Canucks no longer have, right? So the truth is that even if the Blues wobble, like if the Blues are to wobble to 500, opening the door for Vancouver, right? At least... most likely, some of the beneficiaries of that wobble are going to be the teams you're also competing against, right? So, and like Utah, for example, is a point back of Vancouver, right? So they're 6 points back of St. Louis with 2 games in hand similarly, but they play game 82 against the Blues. So on some level, they have a different dynamic where the Canucks have to pass the Blues. Utah just has to be 1 point back of them for game 82, right?
Yeah, so it's like they have a chance.
Even they have a different kind of bar at this point because of the sort of vagaries of the schedule. And by the way, that's not even without getting into the fact that of these 4 teams, Calgary, St. Louis, Utah, Vancouver, the Canucks have the most difficult remaining schedule. 2 games against Vegas, that game against Winnipeg, right? They play the Wild, they play the Avalanche, and the Stars on the road still. Those 2 teams on the road on a tough road trip late in the season. So if you can only afford or you can only sustain 3 losses, you know, the New Jersey Devils with Jacob Markstrom reeling and no Jack Hughes in the lineup, the New York Islanders, the Columbus Blue Jackets, like those are not teams that you can afford to lose against.
These are basically must win.
As close as it gets without actually... you know, meeting the definition.
And that brings us to our next subject, which is really kind of a mix of headline, broadsheet, lineup note all at once, which is that Elliot Friedman and Rick Dhaliwal reporting with a fair degree of certainty that Thatcher Demko will make his return to the lineup and start this game against the New Jersey Devils. And the way they're framing it is very much, hey, he knows the team needs him, right? And so it's great that you're getting Thatcher Demko back. You know, Kevin Lankin obviously has played a ton, wasn't feeling well against the Rangers. The workload has just been massive for him, so you understand the slippage in his game. It just feels like an awful lot, given how Demko's season has unfolded and the stop-start nature of it, to look to him to be the savior of the season at this point, right? Because we're down to the wire so much so that even if it takes him 1 game to get back into a rhythm and find his game, that might be 1 poor performance or 1 substandard performance you can't afford. Now, look, it's Thatcher Demko, and I understand this team has had, you know, he has won a lot for this team, and he has put in some incredible performances and lifted them in really difficult circumstances. So I understand why it's going to be a massive lift for the organization getting him back in the crease. It's also just an awful, awful lot to expect him to come in, considering how his season has gone, and go on this magical heater that's going to save the Canucks season. But it sounds like, barring anything very much unforeseen, he's going to get a chance to do so against the Devils tonight. What's your reaction to Thatcher Demko's imminent return, Drance?
So, I mean, I have a lot of reactions. First of all, 10 days ago out at UBC, Demko was a limited participant in practice, roughly three drills, right? About 15 to 20 minutes of work, and then he departed. He's had the net to himself in multiple game day skates, and he was a full participant, according to Ian McIntyre, who was at the Prudential Center for Canucks practice yesterday. I know there's going to be talk about Demko being rushed back. I know that there's this desire in this market to bubble wrap athletes sometimes. 10 days, multiple full practices, or skates at least, and a full practice. I mean, that's a pretty robust return to play protocol. You know what I mean? Like, if you're not ready to play after that, you're not going to be ready to play this year. You know, and I just don't think that that's sort of where he was. I think the injury conversation around this Canucks team all year has been wild. Like, do you remember when the Canucks were being widely called out for not letting Quinn Hughes go to the Four Nations tournament? People were like, they're doing him a terrible disservice in terms of managing this relationship. Yep. Hughes's Team USA teammates called it sketchy. And then Hughes missed two more games on the other side of the break. Returned only because he made his case just as Rick Tocchet was filling out the lineup card while in the medical room at the crypto.com arena, and then got re-injured two and a half games later. Like, the conversation around these is wild. So now the conversation around Demko is either the club is being reckless by rushing him back despite him getting in multiple full team skates and spending 10 days in what was an apparent return to play protocol in which his activity was ramping up. Either the club's being reckless or like Demko's a hero for putting the team first, or I don't know, man. This looks to me like a totally normal timeline.
Pretty normal.
With which Demko to return to. And I think if we ignore that and create false stakes, then we get all these weird takeaways that actually are kind of like toxic or destructive anyway in terms of the conversation around this team. It becomes like they're rushing him back because they're desperate for playoff revenue, which is consistent with what they did at the deadline, and it's just like you get to all these conclusions that like are fair in other instances, but I don't think apply in this case necessarily, at least just based on the fact pattern at hand. So look, Demko returning, I think, is a Hail Mary pass that the Canucks need to throw. We are in Hail Mary time for this
but
team.
Is it a Hail Mary, or is it like,
well, it's a Hail Mary if he comes in, is immediately on his game, and they play him like eight more times
down
the stretch.
Okay, that becomes a Hail Mary, but I just mean like playing him. Because like last week, IMAC was like,
playing him is not a Hail Mary.
You know what I mean? Last week, IMAC on the station was like, yeah, probably New Jersey or if not New Jersey, definitely the Islanders.
Yeah.
So I don't think this is a reaction to like, oh my gosh, the season's on the brink, we got to get him in here. No. I think this is what they were looking at.
No, but it's a potential Hail Mary.
If the decision is, okay, we're riding you for the rest of the way.
In that there's almost no more ceiling raising addition that you can bring into the lineup than Thatcher Demko, especially if he finds his game the way, if he hits the ground running the way that he was in those, you know, four starts right before he got hurt, right? Because that was what, the win over San Jose, the win over the St. Louis Blues. Imagine looking back at it, how big was
pretty
that
important
one? And then obviously he won one more, and then he played the Dallas game and he was good, but it was such a weird one because they traded JT Miller before the game. So yeah, I mean, I look at Demko and think if he is able to hit the ground running here, he changes the complexion, right? He's the sort of Hail Mary pass where it's like Demko won four in a row, and now we're talking about a Canucks team that instead of needing to win 9 of 12, right, needs to win, what, 5 of 7.
Yes.
Right? Like, he's capable of that.
And I think especially when you factor in the strength of schedule and the fact that you're going to have to beat teams from the Winnipeg, Vegas, Colorado, Edmonton group multiple times. And what gives you the best chance to do that multiple times
That's
is a really
Demko
hot
on
goalie.
Hitter.
Is a hot goalie.
Now, that said, even if all this team gets from Demko down the stretch here is six games of average play, or even within a stone's throw of average play, and then you get a more rested Kevin Lankinen, I think that still matters. Tocchet suggesting that Lankinen wasn't feeling great after the Rangers game, obviously got allowed 5 goals against on 11 shots?
Yep.
Or 4 goals against on 11 shots. And I mean, that was always going to happen with him starting, what was it, his 8th in 15 days? Like, you were always courting disaster. You were always going to get one of those fatigued goalie performances where a good goaltender simply doesn't have the juice to give you a shot to win. And I think it's fair to say that the Canucks got that game in Manhattan. So even if Demko can just, like, work in and provide some competent relief performances, like, even if he hits that level, he's a valuable add to this team down the stretch. But he also has the upside, as we know, to be one of the most dominant puck stoppers in the NHL. And boy, could the Canucks use a game changer like that at the moment.
Other lineup note, and there's no morning skate today for the Canucks in New Jersey. Rick Tocchet will speak around 2, so we won't get any official confirmation during our show. But I know IMAX said on the morning show today that he would be pretty surprised if either Pedersen or Hoglander plays. Rick Tocchet has described them as banged up. So Aturatu has been called up, and that means you're staring at a situation where...
Under emergency conditions.
Yes.
So we're after the deadline, which means the team only has the 4 recalls, right?
Mm.
I actually haven't tracked it as closely as I usually would, so I'd need to look back and see exactly how many of them they've used. But what emergency conditions does tell you immediately is that the team has fallen beneath 18 healthy skaters, right? So we know that those guys are hurt enough for emergency conditions to be used. That's a huge data point here,
yep.
Right? They're both clearly hurt. Maybe the emergency conditions on the loan get eliminated before the game, but you know right there, like that actually is a condition on the recall that speaks volumes.
So you're looking potentially here at Pugh Suter, Teddy Bluger, Neil Zaman, Aturatu down the middle. That's a tough situation. And then you're also going to have, if Hoglander can't go, Linus Karlsson and Jonathan Lekkerimäki in the lineup. So, I mean, that's like between Oman, Ratu, Lekkerimäki, Karlsson, those guys have suited up all together in AHL games, right? Like, that's a big chunk of your AHL roster coming up and playing it forward for you in big games right now. At least tonight. We'll see who is actually in, but that's a potential lineup.
So do we have guests in every segment here?
No, just the next 2.
Okay, perfect. So we'll get into it in the last segment, but I wonder if they might consider playing a winger out of position.
All right. Well, we can touch on that and how they handle the potential center. He's a pretender. What are
Why
we doing
are
here?
You here? The Canucks need a center.
So worth it. Anyways, we'll whip through the rest of the whiteboard here. Playoff standings update. We did it for the most part anyways, but I do have to say Dom's model just can't quit the Canucks. Still giving them a 27% chance of making the playoffs, which feels awfully high to me.
Dom's on vacation, so we've had an updating issue.
Oh,
yeah, yeah. It's actually 22.1%.
Okay.
I went to the source, but that's about double where everyone else is.
Yes.
Although it is in line with the betting markets. So let's transition into talking about the gambling odds. The betting markets have the Canucks at +425 to make the playoffs, which is about a 19% implied probability. So we're down. We're not in 1-10 territory yet, but we're certainly into 1-5 territory. Mm-hmm. Remember, though, these things at this time of year swing so wildly. I mean, Canucks win tonight, Blues drop to the Habs tomorrow. You're going to see them back close to 50%.
Yep.
So don't overreact too much to the swings, but certainly not looking great. Are you seeing a lot of defeatism in Canucks chatter?
Oh, yeah.
Like, they're done. They're done. They're not done, man. They really are not done. It's amazing. Like, the reason it looks like they're done is that the Blues have gone 8-1-1. Across their last 10 games. If you don't lose games, it's incredibly quick how much the complexion, especially at this point in the season when there's not a lot of runway,
they're
changes.
Not done, but you know how sometimes if you're like doing a roast or something and you take it out and you're like, oh, it's definitely going to be done now. And you're like, what? How is it not done yet? That's where they are. You know what I mean? You're surprised that they're not done.
They're like medium rare.
No, even they're like, you're just like, it's still not even rare. What's happening? I thought I put this in long enough.
They're blue.
How is this not done yet?
Yeah. They're like Eiffel 65 blue.
That's right.
Why is my roast mooing?
Exactly. The Canucks, by the way, are road underdogs today against a Devils team that has only won 4 games in their last 10, including their last 2, which, you know, might make them motivated tonight. That's about a 46% probability of victory for Vancouver tonight. Utah favorite at home against the Red Wings, by the way.
That is the whiteboard for today. Janpro, from showrooms to stockrooms and everything in between, Janpro keeps workplaces tidy, clean, and disinfected. For a free quote, visit janpro.ca. Greg Wyshynski from ESPN joins us next here on Canucks Talk, Sportsnet 650.